Today is a very special day in a Jewish calendar, which is called Lag BaOmer, which is actually the 18th day of the month of Iyar. And the meaning of this day is the following. The word Lag actually doesn't exist. It represents a number. The letter Lamed in Hebrew represents the name, the number 30. And the letter Gimel represents the number 3. So the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer, which I'll explain what this means in a minute, that's the day of today. And it's a very special day for a few reasons. Now, first of all, I don't want to make a long explanation of each one of the details of this day, but I want to explain briefly the main points. Point number one, what does it mean Omer? Omer is the name of a measurement. As if we would say kilograms, liters, and so on. Omer is a measurement of flour, of barley flour that was brought after the holiday of Pesach, Passover, in the temple, in the Beis Hamikdash. They used to bring a measurement, an omer, of barley flour, and that offering actually allowed the people to eat all the crop from the previous year up to the previous offering of barley flour. And the new crop will be start to be eaten from the new next year's offering of barley flour. That's the Korban Omer. That's the offering of Omer, the name of a measurement, of barley flour. From that point on, the Torah says, in Parshas Emor, actually, the Parsha of this particular week, the Torah says you have to count the days, 49 days up to the 50th day, so you count 49 in order to reach the 50th day, which is the holiday of Shavuos, weeks, whatever. So from Pesach to Shavuos, you have 49 days in the middle, you have to count all the days, and that's called the counting of the Omer. Why is it called the counting of this measurement, Omer? Because again, we started counting from the moment we offered this Omer in this Omer of barley flour in the temple up to the holiday of Shavuos. Lag BaOmer now has a different meaning. It's the 33rd day in the counting of this Omer between Pesach and Shavuos, between Passover and Shavuos. Point. That's the meaning of the name. What happened in this particular day? Many things happened, basically two. Rabbi Akiva, he lived around the year 120 after the Common Era. Rabbi Akiva had so many students, 24,000 students, and our sages say that at some point in time, one year, all of them passed away between Pesach and Shavuos. It's a terrible day. That's why we actually, in this particular period of time, we have a few customs of mourning and so on. We don't make parties. It doesn't really matter all the details. Now, the 33rd day of that particular year that the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away, they stopped, so to speak, passing away. Some versions say he remained with 5 students. Some versions say he got another 5 students and so on. Okay, so it's a happy day because this plague of the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped. There's another reason why it is also a happy day, because Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, whichever way you want to call him, who actually was one of those 5 students, either remaining or new students of Rabbi Akiva, he also, some years later, after Rabbi Akiva, of course, was a student of him, passed away in that particular day. And he requested from everybody to be happy in the day of his passing. Why should we be happy in a day of a passing of a great sage like Rabbi Shimon, as I'll explain in a minute? Because in that particular day, he reached the highest levels of understanding of the most profound secrets of the Torah. Therefore, he asked for it to be a very happy day. Rabbi Shimon himself was a very interesting figure within Jewish people, within Jewish sages. Many, many stories about him, but I'll just relate one story and one teaching out of this story about Rabbi Shimon. Our sages say that Rabbi Shimon was very against the Romans, very, very against them, and the Romans actually started chasing him, and he got hidden with his son, Rabbi Elazar, in a cave for 12 years. After 12 years, What did they do in the cave? They learned Torah, of course. That's the only thing they had to do because they didn't have any materials, any houses, any nothing. Just learn Torah the whole day for 12 years. After they left the cave, our sages say that Rabbi Shimon was very angry. Very angry. Why? Because he saw people plowing and sowing and so on. He spent 12 years learning Torah. 12 complete years completely given to God. And people over here are actually taking care of the world, worldly things, mundane things, plowing, sowing, and so on. So he was very angry. Every single place that he put his eyes on got burned like fire coming out of his eyes. People are not dedicating lives to God. I dedicated my life 12 years to God, and people are not doing this. He was angry, and he burned everything that he saw. And a voice came from heaven and said, Rabbi Shimon, you're burning my world, says God. You're burning my world. Go back to the cave. So Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, they went back to the cave. For how long? For 12 months. Why 12 months? They said, look, the judgment of the wicked people in Gehinnom, which would be like a purgatory or something like that, a place where the wicked people actually get judged and punished and so on, the judgment, the worst person gets 12 months of judgment. So therefore, we have to go back to the cave. We will spend 12 months and then go away. And that's what they did. They spent another 12 months on the cave. Then they went out. And the first thing that Rabbi Shimon asked and said when he went out is there anything I can do to help anyone in the world? That's the story. Now, Rabbi Shimon, can you imagine? Rabbi Shimon spent 12 years with his son, Rabbi Elazar, learning Torah the whole day, completely given to God, completely attached to spirituality and so on. And then they went out. Something happened over there. They got angry, whatever. They burned everything. And then they said, we are wicked people. And we deserve 12 months of judgment, of suffering inside the cave, to actually atone for what we did wrong. Wait a second. You would think that after 12 years of learning Torah the whole day and whole night, whatever, in the cave, that was nothing else to do over there, they would be such holy people. Incredible holy people. And if somebody else is not at their level, they have the right to burn him. Like, I'm really holy. What do you think? I'm not? You are not holy. I am. That's what people would think. However, they saw, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar saw in this holiness that they reached, truly reached this holiness within 12 years in the cave, they saw it as a blemish. If your holiness is preventing you from seeing somebody else lower than you and not being able to help them, to raise them up, to actually share your holiness with them, your holiness has no value at all. You got it all wrong. Judaism is not looking down to people and saying, you are not holy as me, so you're going to deserve this and that and blah, blah, blah. No. Judaism is, let's raise up everybody, the whole world. In other words, the higher you are, the lower you can actually reach to share your holiness with somebody else. That's why they saw their Kedusha, their holiness, as a blemish, actually. And they went for 12 months, which is the judgment for the wickedest and wickedest of the wickedest. They went for that judgment, 12 more months, to really understand that my holiness is not to look down into people. My holiness is to share it with somebody else and to rise that person into a higher level. That's one idea we learned from Rabbi Shimon in today's Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer, which is the day of the passing of Rabbi Shimon. And he asked everybody to be happy in his days. And in the merit of Rabbi Shimon, that should every single person around the world have all the blessings from God that they deserve, and even the blessings that they maybe don't deserve, in the merit of Rabbi Shimon, that he had the power of raising up everybody else towards God and towards holiness, every single person in the world should be blessed.